In the air, everywhere. Back at it again on a Saturday, because, hey, you can't just do the show 5 nights a week. You got to do it 8 days a week because 4 hours a night on the overnight, clearly not enough. We are back on another edition of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. And as a bonus, now I punished you, all right, I punished you, the listener, with a gag-on-only podcast on Friday. And so as a olive branch, if you will, here on Saturday, you get just me. It's all Maller all the time. You give us 30-plus minutes, and we will give you nothing but a headache. We thank you for supporting the podcast. You guys have been wonderful, as this is a spinoff of the radio show, as we like to say. It's just a little small podcast. It's an act of charity. Before I get into it, today on the podcast, we've got quite the menu, a global exclusive on this podcast. I've had a few cameos here recently, and you guys have been great, and I've had a lot of fun with that. As you know, we're not a morning zoo show. We don't do shout-outs. We don't. But it's been pretty neat. I mean, there's some big super fans of the show that have reached out, and I really get a kick. Some of you guys have had me send messages to your wives, which I think that's hilarious. I think that's tremendous. The women that are, by marriage, put in a spot where they end up listening to the show because you happen to like the show, and we thank you for that, and you try to get the women in your lives to listen, and it's quite amusing. So cameo.com is the website there. Ben Maller, it's not free, but we've had some fun with that. So on this podcast, the Saturday podcast, we've got Halfway House Maller, global exclusive, pop quiz, which is going to be interesting, because normally I ask the pop quiz question for Gagon, but Gagon's not here, so we don't have to worry about West of the 405. And we'll get Scientifical. We'll probably end up getting Scientifical before pop quiz. I continue to be fascinated by these science stories. And so I thought, you know, I can't really use them, most of them, on the radio show because it is, you know, in air quotes, a sports talk radio show. But on the podcast, we have more freedom. We have more flexibility. We can do different things. And so I thought, why not? Some of the stories, I mean, I'm reading these things anyway. So what's to lose by not doing them, or doing them, I should say, by doing them, I should say. So anyway, we'll start with Halfway House Maller. This is a podcast exclusive. This is something I've not talked about on the radio show. Some of you have figured this out, which is a little scary. I don't know if you're hacking my email or my phone and my text message and all that. But you might have picked up on this if you listened to the radio show at all this week. I was not in on Thursday into Friday, but for the first time in roughly 15 months, I was actually scheduled. I didn't just pop in here after a rainstorm. I made my triumphant return to the iHeart Media building, the Premier Networks building, where the late Rush Limbaugh did his show when he came to L.A., and Art Bell and Casey Kasem and legends of Dr. Laura worked out of there. Jim Rome, when he did the show for the Premier Networks. It's a cool building. Been some great radio talent. George Norrie does a show out of there. And Fox Sports Radio has studios, which is our main hub. And I've worked at Fox Sports Radio for over 20 years. But because of the global pandemic, we were doing the show from the home studio. And the reason, I can now reveal why, I was in studio this past week. Because last weekend, while you were living your lives and you were listening to the podcast, I was Moving Man Maller. Now, I should have brought in Moving Man Matt. That would have made sense. But it was a short move. It wasn't a long move. But I moved. I packed up, me and the wife there, we packed up the station wagon, the Winnebago, and hightailed it, skedaddled out of the Maller Mansion. Now, there's a lot of reasons for it. Some of them I don't want to get into on the podcast. They're private. They're personal. But one of the reasons this happened, there, you know, some bad things happened in my life that led to this. But also the housing market is very robust. Where I'm in California, and it was a tremendous time financially to do it. But also, as I said, there was some tragedy in my life, and I, inherited some things and some things I didn't inherit, but I have to pay for those other things. So anyway, my life, the point is my life is in boxes, and I was giving some clues. You know, you guys picked up on it, and I give you credit. Alf the Alien Opiner, a couple other guys were like, hey, where are you moving? When are you moving? Did you move? And I was like, well, you guys picked up. I'm talking about moving stuff to storage and things like that, different things I've said, different clues that I've tossed out. Very vague, but you guys picked up on it. And so it's the summer of bubble wrap. And I said I'm living in the Mahler halfway house, the halfway house of Mahler. And that is true because I moved to a temporary location. I sold the house. I loved the house I was living in. I want to be very clear about that. I would have been very happy to stay in that house for the rest of my years. It was a very good house. I was very proud of the fact that I was able to put a studio in. That was something I wanted to do. And I remember when I got into radio, I was like, wow, maybe I'll put a studio in someday. I'll be like a big talk show host, you know, big radio guy. And, of course, it never happened. It took a radio station, WEI in Boston, to offer me a gig. And then I said, okay, I'll do it. And then I just had them essentially pay for it. They paid me back. I built the studio out. And then I didn't use it. I lost the EEI gig because our show got picked up by the Sports Hub in Boston. And I can't be working at both sports radio stations in Boston. So as a result, I lost the WEI gig. And so for a little while, I didn't use the studio at all. And then the podcast came along, and I did the podcast. And then the world shut down, and so we moved in and decided to, you know, we could continue to do the show from there. So I have great memories, a lot of family parties, and we would host the holidays for the family, pretty much my wife's family. All my family lives elsewhere, but my wife's family. And so that was neat. That was cool, and we have great memories there and whatnot, but it was time. I mean, everything lined up, as Andrea, the sports sorceress, would say. Everything lined up for this to work out. And I am not, like many, I'm not a fan of change. I'm not. I don't think many people like change. I'm a creature of habit. I have my routine. I get ready for the show at a certain time. I know where to go and what to do and what I'm looking for. And everything is sideways. I don't know if it sounded like that on the show. I don't know if you could pick up on that. Maybe not. I think I'm a pretty good actor in that regard. But we had a lot of good stories this week to talk about with the Clippers and some of the other things that happened. There were some good sports talk radio for June, which is normally the dead zone. I mean, let's be honest here. June is not a time which is typically great sports talk radio. It's the dog days for our business. The calendar in sports radio really begins. Our New Year's Day is the first weekend of September when the NFL kicks off. That's right where it's the sweet spot. It's a sweet spot. So we're dealing with the move. The good news is I have recreated a temporary studio in the new halfway house of the Mahler Mansion. Now, the reason I'm at the halfway house, I'll actually be moving in a couple of months depending on how things go. We've hired a contractor. A good guy named Ruben, knows what he's doing. He's got a bunch of guys working underneath him as well. It seemed to be very good tradesmen. They're much better than I am. I can't do any of that crap. I know just Josh in Cincinnati is very talented, and some of you other guys have sent me messages about how you're able to move around and build kitchens out and bathrooms and all that. I don't have any of that ability. I don't have that gene. I don't have it. But I will be moving again in a couple months to a new place in a secret location off the grid deep in the North Woods. That's where I will be located. But in the meantime,
be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Mahler Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Mahler Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I came in studio. It was great to see Eddie, and we caught up, and Roberto and Coop. I talk to those guys all the time. I don't get to talk to Eddie much off the air the way the setup is because he's in a different room, but I get to talk to Eddie, pick up my mail. Really want to thank the Maller Militia. Man, you guys are great. You're wonderful. And so many cool things, little trinkets, this, that. The hat collection is burgeoning. We were off this. We were dark on the videos, so I didn't get to wear any of the new hats on the videos. But the videos should be back, assuming the gremlins don't attack the equipment in the temporary studio. So we'll start having some videos next week, so I look forward to that. But in the meantime, I was here hanging out, and it was weird. I was a little concerned when I pulled up to the studios here at the corner of Ventura and Sepulveda in the San Fernando Valley here, just across from the Cheesecake Factory, across the street there at the Sherman Oaks Galleria. I was a little concerned. I was like, well, maybe my parking pass won't work. It did. Then I got to the building. I was like, well, maybe my card to get in the building was past the security. It didn't work. Well, it worked. So back in Sherman Oaks, and great memories of this place. I've had tremendous fun doing radio here over the years. So anyway, that's the halfway house. That's where I am right now if you're concerned about my life. And I know a lot of people move, and this is not out of the ordinary. This is actually a good news story. It'll be much cooler, and the studio that I'm going to have in the new place, which I don't know if this is the final Maller Mansion. I think it is probably going to be the final Maller Mansion. I don't think I'll be moving again unless somebody really just pays me a crap load of money, just a shitload of money. Then maybe I'll do it. But it's going to be great. I'm going to have a nice studio. Everything will be first class all the way. Not that it wasn't. I mean, it was great also. But I am looking forward to it. As far as the soundproofing will sound better. You know, like nerd stuff. Nerd stuff in radio. Now, I would like to get to Let's Get Scientifical, which is a combination of stories that I find around the internet, and I like to call it real or bullshit. It's a tribute, paying homage to Penn and Teller. They had a show called Bullshit, which was very good. I thought that was a good show. I don't know if they're still working. Are they retired because of the pandemic, Penn and Teller? I have not checked. I used to go see them when I was in Vegas. I loved it. I'm not a big show guy when I go to Vegas, but Penn and Teller. I mean, I used to watch them when I was a punk kid on Saturday Night Live and some of the nonsense they did. So I was a fan. I was a cult fan of Penn and Teller. And it was kind of cool that they were still performing. I don't think they're doing it right now. Anyway, so let's get scientific. These are actual scientific stories that I thought were interesting that I read at some point over the last 7 to 10 days. So the headline on this, scientists discover part of the brain addicted to news stories about impending doom. Do you see this? You did not. All right. So this actually is validation. One of the reasons I want to bring this up on the podcast for you is because it validates something that I learned early on in my careers, how I relate to this. So one of the catchphrases that I use doing radio is, the better story is in the losing locker room. That's where the drama is. That's where the finger pointing is. When you win, there's a bunch of people there to slobber all over you, right? To ride your junk. They love you. But when you lose, when you're a loser, that's where the real story is. And it's how we are wired. And that's what I took away from this study. But reading about impending doom and gloom, is a hobby that many people have. It's, according to the study here, it's addicting, and people will spend hours browsing the internet about, you know, the global warming, we're all going to die in 10 years and all this. And people buy that crap. It's all bullshit. In fact, there was a story done a couple of years ago, which was hilarious, and it went back like 30 years prior. I think this came out like 2010. And it went back to 1980, and the science community, if we don't stop this, we're going to run out of gas, or global warming, the sea levels are going to rise. None of those things happen. Now, there is a climate change and all that, but it's not nearly the pan-horrific story that the people are saying. But anyway, this, as far as this study is concerned, researchers have discovered, this is what's new, they have discovered the part of the human brain that dictates why some people can't stop looking at those nerve-wracking, oh my God, we're all going to die type of stories. And so researchers from Washington University School of Medicine, this is in St. Louis, say how people cope with the uncertainty of what the future holds could come down to the biology of their brains. That certain people are just wired better to handle bad news. They don't look for it. Keep their head down, one foot in front of the other, and move on. All right, now here's another story that caught my attention. Popcorn perfection. I love popcorn. To me, a perfect night is to go to the movies. Now, I don't really like movies that much, but big tub, extra large with the refill, buttered popcorn, and like some kind of chocolate, whether it's peanut M&Ms or something. Amazing. Well, they study, can you imagine the science community studying this, studying popcorn. A study reveals the secrets to popping every kernel of popcorn. Now, popcorn is an amazingly big snack in America. Not around the world. In a lot of countries, they don't eat popcorn. We do. This country, according to this report, they eat, as Americans, we eat 15 billion quarts of popcorn. Popcorn is actually a pretty good snack if you're on a diet. The calories in popcorn come from all the butter, which is the good part. And you get a big bucket of movie theater popcorn and all that. But the thing about it is, it's when you make it at home, it's never perfectly popped. But when it's perfectly popped with butter all over it, my God, is it good. A recent study looked at what it takes to make sure every kernel in your bag of popcorn actually pops. And when it comes to consumers, researchers at the State University of Maringá in Brazil tell us that people are looking for a great seed-to-snack ratio. Remember that, seed-to-snack ratio. That means when the popcorn is done popping, there isn't a whole pile of unpopped kernels at the bottom of the bag. You know, one of the things I do to honor my dad, passed away back in January, my dad loved popcorn. And I haven't done this, actually. I got to get on this. I've been dealing with this house crap. But my dad figured out, you know, he didn't buy, like, the bag of Orville Redenbacher or whatever, any chain. What he would do, he'd buy the kernels and then get a paper bag, and he'd measure out a certain amount of salt, a certain amount of butter, put it in the bag, and then fold the bag up and cook it, and made his own version of popcorn, and it was really good. And he sent me the recipe, so I will make that from time to time to honor him. All right, moving on. We're getting scientifical, is what we're doing. Well, Americans, you and I, Americans, believe it or not, are really dumb. We don't know geography. We think we know, but we don't know. You think you know, but you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know what you don't know. This is regarding national landmarks. According to this study, many Americans believe the Grand Canyon is in, you know what state the Grand Canyon is? Yeah. A lot of people think it's in Colorado. What about Niagara Falls? You ever been to Niagara Falls? Is beautiful. Mike, I've been there. It's awesome. I was there in the summertime. A lot of Americans think Niagara Falls is actually in Iceland. How fucking dumb are these people? Some Americans are confused by pretty much everything as far as national geography, according to a new survey out. They're also very confident. Here's the thing. Americans, according to this, don't really know where crap is, but are confident they do, which is, I guess, a good way to go through life. Like, if you don't realize you're wrong and you just talk loudly. It's like I used to work with a guy on the weekends. I forget his name. I think it was Lam Toomey or something like that. And he always said, listen, if you don't know how to pronounce a name, Ben, just say it confidently and loudly, and no one will think you're wrong. He also gave me some terrible real estate advice as well. But I digress. All right, so 64% of people, according to this survey, think they feel knowledgeable about the locations of the national landmarks, but only half of those who were polled correctly identified that the Redwood Forest is located in California. Another 35% correctly said that Shawnee National Forest is in Illinois, but 18% incorrectly selected Ireland, that the Shawnee National Forest is in Ireland. Fewer than 4 in 10 could realize the Grand Canyon is in Arizona, less than 40%. Colorado, the most common incorrect answer. Another 22% of people surveyed believe Niagara Falls is in Iceland, as we said, not on the New York-Canadian border. Only 32% answered correctly. Holy crap. Wow. These stories are great, though, because they come out every couple of years. You know, people you don't know where Nebraska is, right, or Iowa, or whatever. I have no idea, no concept. All right, getting scientific. Another story that caught my attention this week, tiny poisonous caterpillars on the move. Somebody call my guy Blair in Maine and all our P1s in Portland, Maine, and beyond. Tiny poisonous caterpillars are spreading across Maine. Holy Moses. According to a recent news report, the tiny caterpillars known as brown-tail moss, a moss, M-O-T-H-S, they have brown bodies with white streaks, orange dots, and thin poisonous hairs. Oh, it sounds like a horror movie. And they can cause poison ivy-like rashes and breathing problems in some people that come across these poisonous caterpillars. And these were accidentally introduced into the state of Massachusetts, the Commonwealth, in 1897 from Europe. And within a matter, a short matter of time, these things spread all over the New England states. And so you go all the way back to 1897. Here we are in 2021. And in the decades that have followed, the number have declined, and they're not doing as well, but they're mainly found just along the coast of Maine and in Cape Cod, where all those highfalutin 1% political types and Hollywood phonies hang out on the Cape. So, man, like, there's a lot of stuff in the world that would classify as a horror movie. Tiny poisonous caterpillars. Sounds about right, right? Sounds about right. Brown bodies, white streaks, orange dots, thin, poisonous hairs. That checks a lot of boxes on the horror side of things. All right, last scientific story, doom and gloom. Now, I, from time to time, will point out that you and I both have a fatal illness that every single person before us and every single person after us is going to die. We all have a fatal illness. It's called life. There's no getting out alive. And the most deadly thing in our world is oxygen. Everyone that's ever breathed oxygen has died, unless you're a lizard person. I bring this up not to be a bummer, Benny Downer, not to be that, but scientists have developed several ways to slow the aging process. Right? People are living longer, and there's some that think they'll be able to make human beings like the Terminator. People over at Tesla, for example, believe they can put things in your brain and they can move some stuff around and you'll live as an android within a certain amount of time. Well, a new study finds immortality is not going to happen. It's out of reach. An international team of scientists give the bad news. They say no matter how hard we try, every species on Earth has a generally fixed, finite amount of time aging that science cannot stop. That human death is inevitable. No matter how many vitamins you take, no matter how many minutes you spend on the treadmill and how many weights you lift, doesn't matter. Doc Mike, doesn't matter how much piss you drink, Doc, you're still going to check out. Although Doc's doing pretty good. Doc's in his late 70s now. Doc started calling me boy, I was in my 20s and Doc was in his early 50s when he started calling the show. And he hasn't missed a beat. I give him credit. I hope I just make it to 76. My dad didn't make it to 76. I hope I make it to 76. And I hope I have my faculties and I'm as sharp as the Doc. Not that I want to drink my own urine to get there. Anyway, the findings of this study reveal, although some people live longer today than they did in the distant past, the rate of aging among humans isn't really changing all that much. So to explain this to you like you're 5 years old, researchers believe that today's life expectancy in 2021 has less to do with people growing older and more to do with fewer people dying earlier in life. Yeah, I heard that in some other study. I read a lot of crap. But there was a study a couple of years ago that said the reason back in the middle ages that people would check out at such a young age, the life expectancy was like in your 30s or something like that, was because the infant mortality rate, when women were having children, a lot of the kids were not surviving, and that factored in. A kid checks out on the first day the kid's supposed to be alive. That does damage to the numbers. So anyway, all right, pop quiz. Now, this is where I'm going to ask you. I normally would ask that West of the 405 elitist snob, but he's not here. So, pop quiz. These are things I found interesting, and I wanted to share them with you. They are of the science neighborhood. And we'll start with this, and I'll ask the question. I'll give you a couple seconds to think about it, and then I'll give the answer. And that's how we're going to do it. All right, so a recent survey asked Americans to name their favorite and least favorite burger toppings. Now, only one thing ranked highly on both lists. What topping is it? Got an answer? Now, I like a lot of things on my burger. I like onions. I like obviously ketchup. I like mustard sometimes, a little Thousand Island depending on my mood, barbecue sauce depending on my mood. But the only item to pop up on the highly and negative list, ranked highly and not list, pickles. Pickles. I thought of our guy, Alf the Alien Opiner, in Springfield, Mass, because Alf found out that Eddie hates pickles. And Alf went out and purchased like a gazillion bags of potato chips, pickled flavor, and all these pickle items. And some other good stuff, too, for the guys on the show. It was pretty funny. And I remember Eddie's eyes when he saw the box with all the pickle stuff. He's like, oh, my. He like rolled his eyes. But, I'm not a big pickle guy. I spent a lot of time at delis, growing up. Jewish family, go to delis, the cliche and all that. And I love a good pastrami sandwich. To me, that's soul food. But the pickles, no, not a fan. They always give them. I wish I did like pickles because they always toss those in. My favorite deli is this place called Langer's Deli in L.A., which is in MacArthur Park. And I love Langer's. It's only open till 4 because it's in the hood. But I go over there, and they give you pickles. And I'm like, boy, I love free stuff. I love when I go to a Mexican restaurant, I won't go there if they don't have free chips and salsa. I know it's built into the price. If I go to an Italian restaurant, they don't give bread, I'm out. I don't go back. But the pickle thing I never got into. All right, a new report claims today, I think it's the texture, by the way, the pickles. A new report claims today Americans are least likely to do this common activity. What activity is it? And this is on a, I think this was a Monday. The answer is going out to eat. That people generally do not go out to eat on a Monday. A new survey asked Americans to name something on their bucket list. This was the most common response. What was it? What's on your bucket list? I don't really have a bucket list. I probably should. Getting a little older. Should have a bucket list. I don't. But the answer to this survey was, wait for it, driving a race car. Driving a race car. Yeah. Well, I could do that. First of all, I work the overnight shift, and I've been working, having a long commute here while I'm at the halfway house. And on the highway, on my way home, even in L.A. with all these millions of people, there's nobody on the road other than a couple of trucks and Caltrans fixing the highway, most of the time when I'm driving, and you know, a few drunks. So I can get up pretty good, but typically I max out at about 90. And I feel like I'm going to lose control. I don't think I've ever gone over 100 miles an hour. Because I know that when you get up to that level, plus I don't have cars that go that fast. I've got commuter cars. That's mostly what I have. But even if I did have a car that could get that fast, I'd be so paranoid that if I got up to 200 miles an hour, I in one mistake, one hair out of place, kaboom, lights out, get the body bag. Don't want that. Now, next one. In the 1970s and 80s, half of kids did this. Now it is down to 10%. What is it? You know what the answer? Something I did when I was a kid, a product of the of that era. The answer is to walk to school. Yeah. Apparently kids today don't walk to school. Everyone's paranoid about letting their kids walk to school. My mom, and I, you know, I had a Jewish mother, overly protective Jewish mother, but in hindsight, she allowed me to take the school bus and to walk home and to school. Not all the time, but when I was very little and I started going to like first grade, I remember taking the school bus and how excited it was. I loved the smell of the diesel. And I thought, as a through the eyes of a child, you look at a school bus, you're like, wow, I'm big time. I'm on a school bus. And then you get a little older, and you're like, holy fuck, what are you doing? All right, now, next one. Just over 10% of people say they have stolen this from their neighbor without their neighbor noticing. What is it? Got an answer? It's hard to do now. It used to be pretty easy to do this. Wi-Fi. Yeah, Wi-Fi. It's hard to do now because when I moved, for example, to the halfway house, the Mallor halfway house, I did see if I could get on the neighbor's Wi-Fi, and they were all locked. You needed the password. Now, the veteran move would be if you go to a neighbor and you say, can I borrow your Wi-Fi? Can I use your Wi-Fi? And then if you're that other neighbor, you say, okay, yeah, why don't you give me like, you know, $5 a month or something like that? And you know, who cares if they use your Wi-Fi and you get a little extra money? Well, I'm saying go crazy, a little extra cash. You know, it adds up. Nothing wrong with that. All right, 15% of kids say they want to do this when they grow up. Although when they actually grow up, most of them don't want to actually do the job. The answer, you probably think like police officer, fireman, astronaut, something like that. The answer is actually zookeeper. Yeah. I get that. It makes sense. A, you're a kid, you like animals. B, you go to the zoo, and you see the zookeeper wearing the brown outfit and the funny safari hat. You're like, hey, I could do that. They get to hang out with elephants and rhinos and monkeys, and how cool is that? And then you eventually realize, you're like, wait a minute. They actually clean up the shit, and they don't often make a lot of money? Holy crap. What's that about? Another thing, when I was younger, I don't know if they still have this. I know when the late-night talk shows were big, they're terrible. I cannot watch the late-night talk shows. They're not funny. But when they used to be good, and that was like big entertainment, it was a communal experience when people would watch the late-night shows, and it pretty much ended with Jay Leno and David Letterman, at least for me. I just feel like these other guys are funny. But they used to have, remember the people from the zoos? There was a guy from the zoo in Ohio. Man, I forget the guy's name. Hannah? I think it was Hannah. And they would come out there and they'd have all these different weird lizards and snakes. And the bit was always the same. The bit would be put the snake around the neck of the talk show host. And the talk show host would freak out and all that. That was kind of cool. Like I remember watching. Like, boy, I can just go on TV shows and I can, you know, get the the snake out and the weird looking like it's not really a monkey. What is it? You know, it's kind of like a dog, but it's not a dog. It's a cat, but it's not a cat. What, you know, that kind of thing. All right, men on average, us dudes will do this fewer than 10 times today. What is it? Got an answer? No, that's, you're wrong. Try again. All right. You're still wrong. The correct answer is smile. Smile. That men on average will smile fewer than 10 times. Yeah. You know, I'm not a huge smile guy. I've become more of a smile guy as I've gotten older. But there was a long period of time I just didn't smile. But I don't mind it. You know, it's a good thing. Especially when I was walking when the gyms were closed and before I got my treadmill and I was walking around and you come across people and just like a smile and a nod. Smile and a nod. A wave. Lets people know you're not gonna bludgeon them. It's a friendly gesture. 50% of men wouldn't be able to tell you this about their wife. What is it? Shoe size. Yeah. I think I know my wife's shoe size, but if she gave me a credit card and put me on one of the websites and said, buy me shoes, I would just be guessing. I would absolutely be guessing. That would be it. All right, most people have at least three of these, and they don't realize how important they are until they don't have one. What is it? Got an answer? Oh, this is a big one. The phone charger. The phone charger. What use is it having a phone? There's no use having a phone if you don't have it charged. It's obvious. Now, something that I picked up a couple years ago, which is great, it's been around for a while, the battery backup. Like, I love going to the Sequoia National Forest, but I don't get cell reception up there. I don't really get good cell reception. And often I'll be hiking around and my battery on my phone, you're out for several hours, your battery on your phone, if it's not fully charged, it'll go down. So you bring that battery back up. It doesn't matter. You can be out in the middle of the forest, the giant forest with those huge 3,000-year-old sequoia trees, and you can charge your phone while you're walking along. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. All right, last one here, and we'll put the pop quiz to bed, get the hell out of here. We do have the mailbag on Sunday. 77% of people say this infuriates them. Easier for me to say. When someone does this at the grocery store, what is it? I want to point out, before I tell you what it is, I'm in this category. I've had this happen while I was at Costco. I've had this happen at the Kroger. It's been bad. The answer, 77% of people say this infuriates them, is when they're at the grocery store, they're online to check out, and the person in front of them leaves while checking out to grab something else off the shelf. So then you are then delayed because they forgot to get the item before they went to the checkout. Now, what you should do in that situation is if you go as a couple, well, if you're the husband, you have the wife go get the product, and if you're the, obviously vice versa on the other side. But, yeah, I've been in that spot. And I was like, hey, can you hold my spot? I always do it. I hold their spot. I'm like a total douchebag. I hold their spot. But at the same time, I'm thinking, man, why am I doing this? Why the hell am I doing this? You know, I want to check out. I want my chocolate almonds. I want to get out of here. What are we doing here? What are we doing? Well, anyway, listen, that is it. The Saturday podcast is finito and done. We will have a mailbag podcast. We will, if he's on his best behavior, bring back Gagon. We will find out. We'll have the mailbag as well. Have a great rest of your Saturday. And, boy, you know, we record this, obviously, before Saturday. You'll know if I'm in a really good mood or a really bad mood, depending on how things go with the people's team, the Clippers. You'll know before I know, at least at this time. Anyway, have a great rest of your day. We'll catch you next time on the fifth hour. Mahalo. Aloha.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.